Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Children are a wonderful blessing, but they can also be an immense challenge. Some kids are obedient and cooperative. Others do their own thing, no matter what mom and dad say. Today, navigating the uncertain waters of child rearing. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on children, God's special gift.
Let me ask you a question. Which group of people did Jesus have the greatest problem with when he was here on earth? Well, you know, he was criticized for hanging out with the drunkards and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all those other things. They said, you know, he's hanging out with these people. But Jesus had was received by them, but the goody two-shoes who were keeping the law. Oy, oy, oy. If you haven't read Matthew 23 for a while, you read Matthew 23. And, you know, I read it and I say, you know, I've never had the nerve to even preach on this. Is this the loving Jesus talking, excoriating these self-righteous people? He had a bigger problem with them. In fact, that's why he once told a parable about a man who had two sons, the elder brother who stayed home, the one who worked on the farm day and night, made it successful, and then the other kid, you know, who ran into the far country and then in desperation decided to come home. And what Jesus is saying is that that elder brother, it's possible, you know, to be in the father's work and not share the father's heart. He was working hard, but he was disconnected. He didn't have a personal relationship with his dad. The younger son, the prodigal, he came home. I've been thinking about this past week. I think that all of us would prefer to raise an elder brother than a prodigal who leaves home. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do have to at least ask the question, which son pleased the father more? And the answer was the prodigal, because he came with nothing, and the father is a God of grace and said, hey, bring hither the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, let's have a party. The older son didn't care for a party with the father. The older son was into works righteousness, and it was he who made that farm go, and he never entered into the father's grace. That was the whole point of the parable. Both needed grace. You say, well, is there a problem with the law? No, the problem with the law is that we keep it superficially. We think that the law was a matter of outward obedience, and we don't understand that the first commandment was, thou shalt love the Lord our God with all our heart, and that the law, as Paul says, should drive us to Jesus. Because all of us know we don't keep it, at least in our hearts. But the Pharisees thought, as long as we keep it outside, we give our tithe, everybody's watching, we say our prayers in the street corner, and we keep the law, we don't have to have a changed heart. So the law didn't do its work that's supposed to be. And so Jesus says, both of these need grace. So that's what children need. They need law, they need grace. When they transgress as they will, you should not be surprised. Don't ever underestimate the evil and the deception of the human heart. Don't underestimate it. But at the same time, you don't jump on them just simply, law, 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 law. What you say is, you know, I understand what you did, and I'm really not surprised. And, you know, that's why Jesus came to die for us and to rescue us from ourselves and to give us the strength that we don't have. And you keep pointing them to a gracious, loving, accepting Jesus. There's something else that the children need, and that is praying parents. This is so important that I hope to preach an entire message on it near the end of the series of messages, praying parents. But why do they need praying parents? Why do children need parents who are following God? Well, I'll tell you. It's because conversion is God's work, and it's not yours, and it's not mine. We think to ourselves, you know, as long as we teach him, ram it in, cram it in, people's heads are hollow, ram it in, cram it in, make sure there's more to follow. We think to ourselves, well, you know, we put him to Sunday school, we put him in camp, he memorized 100 verses, so it's time for him to believe on Jesus. Don't you think it's time to believe on Jesus? And they say, well, yeah, I guess so. So parents say, pray this prayer, because we want to make sure you're in the kingdom. Child grows up, there's no transformation of life at all. They live the way they've always lived. There's no evidence of the work of God in their hearts. And they begin to say, I wonder if I was really saved back then. And the parents unwisely say, oh, yeah, you were, because you remember you prayed this prayer when you were 5 years old. Remember where we were? Kids, oh, okay, I guess so. Parents, never presume that your child has savingly believed on Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God grant them the assurance. And don't try to get, you know, the chicken out of the egg. You share the gospel with them lovingly. You share from your own experience of weakness, how weak you are, and how much you need the gospel. You humble yourself, because that's what grace is all about. And then having humbled yourself, and shown them the gospel, you trust God to do a miracle that you can't do. I don't want to be misunderstood, but parents, don't overestimate your ability to bring up kids right so that they will follow the Lord with precision and make you proud. Don't overestimate your ability. You say, well, don't we have a promise in Proverbs 22, verse 6, bring up a child in the way in which he should go, and afterwards he'll not depart from it? Well, I have news for you. You can write this down. You know what the book of Proverbs is? It's a book of Proverbs. That's what it is. Did you get it? Proverbs are not universally true. They are maxims by which we live our life. I could go through a whole list of proverbs and show you that they always are not true. For example, just one example, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Is that always true? Every time you get a soft answer and you give a soft answer, wrath is turned away? No. Sometimes you give a soft answer and you're swatted across the face, and you might even be jailed. It's not always true, but generally, yep. Bring up kids this way, yep, generally true. But don't overestimate your ability. You say, well, what are we left with? I mean, this is scary. I'll tell you what we're left with. We're left with calling on God for grace in our children's life that only God can supply. That's what we're left with. Because you as a parent can change a child's behavior, what you cannot do is to change a child's heart. That is God's business. And all that we can do is to create an environment in which the gospel is shared and lived, and trust God. And by the way, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Should have said that earlier. So first of all, grace means that only God is able to save children. Secondly, grace means that no disobedience is final or fatal, unless, of course, the child dies in disobedience. But you have no idea about God's ability to rescue people even from the pit. I was sharing with someone recently who was involved in moral failure, and I read to him from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry, and he delivered me from the miry pit. I think my translation says from the miry bog. And the deepest pit God's been able to reach and deliver. There's a woman at prayer meeting whose name I will not mention. She's an elderly lady, but she is there every single Wednesday to pray. So I asked her last week, I said, how many years have you been coming? And she said, ever since I came to the church 20 years ago. And she's been praying for a son. And she has been praying consistently, not just 20 years, but even before that time. And God has given her the assurance that someday her son will believe the gospel and be saved. No disobedience is fatal because grace works in unexpected ways. Thirdly, the grace of God often makes up for all kinds of human failure and sins. None of us is a perfect parent. I look back and wish that I could relive some of my days as a parent. My parents prayed a lot, and I'll tell you that story when I speak on prayer, but boy, if you judge them by certain standards, they were not, you know, the ideal parents. Not sure if anybody has the ideal parents. And God sometimes comes along and he saves people and he transforms them despite their background. Some of you may be adopted and you don't know who your parents are. Some of you perhaps have been conceived out of wedlock. And so you've wondered about your worth. I'm here today to tell you that there are all kinds of people like this that I've met throughout the years who are mighty warriors for God. Because God's grace is greater than human failure and sin. Aren't you glad for that? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. My friend, today I want to encourage you. I want you to realize that along with sin, there is always grace. As a matter of fact, grace and sin kind of go together, don't they? You look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, filled with human failure, but also filled with grace. I say that because God is able to meet you right where you are today. I don't know where you heard this broadcast. Perhaps it was when you were in a car, perhaps you're listening now, or in your home, or at the office. No matter how you have heard it, why don't you bow your head right there and say, God, today I need your grace. I'm going to depend upon your grace because what I want to do is to live for you. Dave is going to share with us now some information as to how these messages can be yours that will transform your life.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today we heard more of Children, God's Special Gift, another message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, how the grace of God can overcome our imperfections as moms and dads. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about fighting for your family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win comes to you as a ministry of the Moody Church.